You can sing and recite the church's hymn book, the Psalms, using modern English and new musical settings in the new Concordia Psalter. Check it out at issuesetc.org, or you can purchase the Concordia Psalter by calling Concordia Publishing House 1-800-325-3040. Make the Concordia Psalter part of your devotional life this year. 1-800-325-3040. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for January, the new Concordia Psalter. Stanza 2 of the hymn, Praise the One Who Breaks the Darkness, sung by the Children's Choir at St. Paul's Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. I heard these words read just yesterday. It was the beginning of the worship service at the congregation where I serve, and the head pastor stood there with a young couple and their baby. This baby had been baptized in a private service, and he was carrying out his official duties as pastor and making a proper announcement of this baptism, an acknowledgement of this baptism before the congregation. And he read the words of Mark chapter 10, verse 13 and following, where they were bringing little children to Jesus that he might touch them. Now, that was read because this is a standard passage in the rite of Christian baptism, especially for the baptism of little children and infants. But it's, of course, also sitting right there in the middle of the 10th chapter of Mark, and its context, when we have small pieces of Scripture, context matters even more. Context always matters, but when the passage is shorter, that is, the little piece is shorter, the context often is very helpful. We're going to talk about that with Pastor Tom Baker. The modern context for this, of course, is kind of lifted up and put into the baptismal rite. What's its original context, and are we right to do that? Pastor Tom Baker is host of the radio show Law and Gospel. He joins us every week to teach a Sunday school lesson. This week, Mark chapter 10, 13 through 16. Tom, welcome back to Issues, Etc.
Thank you, Todd.
So when we are dealing with any scripture, we can't read the whole Bible in one sitting. So we always have to read whatever we're reading in some kind of context. And the less we read, the more the context should at least be noticed and noted. What is the context for this short story of Jesus receiving little children?
Yes, your point is good. For example, if I said to you, Todd, don't forget, and that's all I said to you, you have no idea what I'm talking about. Are you not to forget an appointment we made? Are you not to forget my birthday? Are you not to forget to bring home the milk? Like your wife said, make sure you buy it before you come home. Just hearing those words without the context is really problematic. And so in Mark 10, 13 to 16, which, by the way, is a parallel to Matthew 19 and Luke 18, we just don't understand it, especially with American ears. They're bringing little children to Jesus, he might touch them, and the disciples rebuke them. Who are the disciples rebuking? The little children? Are they rebuking the parents who are bringing them? And by the way, why are they rebuking them? Can you imagine that people come to our church to visit and they're carrying children and the ushers rebuke them? What do you bring those children here? It just doesn't seem to make any sense. So with such a small verse, you need the wider context from the rest of Scripture, because remember, Scripture interprets Scripture.
Okay, so the context here has, you know, Jesus in the house of his disciples. They're talking about marriage. Following this passage, we have the very famous rich young man whom Jesus leaves sad because of his great possessions and well, in a lot of ways, his not just his great possessions, but what he treasured above all was his own obedience to the Mosaic Law. How does that help us understand a little bit about this? Whoever will not enter the kingdom of God, such as a little child, shall never enter it.
Well, when you take a look at that incident with the rich man, the first thing he asked Jesus, what must I do to inherit eternal life? Oh, really? And Jesus doesn't even have to read the mind there. Oh, you want to do something? Well, don't you know the commandments? And he gives them a long list of the commandments. Oh, I have observed those from my youth. This is not the humility that God is looking for in an individual. Not only doesn't he think he's much of a sinner and therefore not in need of God's salvation, like those terrible tax collectors and sinners, but he's also under the impression that he can do something to save himself. In contrast to children, when Jesus talks that such belong to the kingdom of heaven, what he's pointing out is a child recognizes their helplessness, and therefore in that they're always seeking help outside of themselves, and they're therefore, shall we say, dependent. In other words, children are by nature both humble and dependent in recognizing they can't achieve what they would want, and therefore they look to their parents for many things. And that's what Jesus is saying. We need to be humble and dependent, but not like this rich fella who thinks that he can only save himself, but he can do sufficient good works to do so.
So when Jesus says, you know, unless one enters the kingdom of heaven as a little child, often it's said, well, what about little kids? Is he recommending here? Does he mean simple faith? Does he mean childlike innocence? You're saying what he's talking about here is the situation in which children find themselves, the circumstance in which they find themselves. They are, by their very nature, helpless, unable to help themselves. They must be helped. They cannot feed themselves, even in the case of these little children, bring themselves to Jesus. They must be carried in arms, things like that.
Yes, in fact, that's a great summary, but we need a Bible verse to back it up, and I'm going to give you one. Matthew 18, 1-6, Jesus says in verse 3, truly I say to you, unless you turn and become like children, you will never enter the kingdom of heaven. And now he explains what he means. It's in verse 4. He says, whoever humbles himself like this child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And that word humble in the original Greek means to make one low, to abase oneself, to recognize that we are not self-sufficient. And it is a really an absence of haughtiness and pride. Remember what's at the center of sin, S-I-N. It's at the center of pride, P-R-I-D-E. So this is the problem that many of us have as sinners, and it's very hard to become like a little child.
So this is, I'm beginning to see why it is, other than that it just happens to have a coincidence having little children and infant children in it, why it is the church has seen fit to make this passage so much a part of the baptismal rite for children, not so much because it just happens to be children, but because it says much about what is actually happening in baptism. This little child has only hostility toward God. It's an enemy of God, and is a purely passive receiver of the gifts of God's grace.
Once more, as you said to begin this, context is everything, and we go to a similar passage in Luke 18. Now, remember, Matthew 19 and Mark 10, and they were bringing children to Jesus. Listen to Luke 18. Now they were bringing even infants to him that he might touch them. Or as the NAS says, they were bringing their babies to him so that he might touch them. And guess what? He says the same thing about them. Truly, truly, I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child shall not enter it. Let these children come to me and do not hinder them, for to such belongs the kingdom of God. That's Luke 18, 15-17, and that specifically is using the word for infants, brephos, which can mean an unborn child, an embryo, a fetus, a newborn child, or a baby.
Now, it says in the account here, I think it's in this account, that Jesus, when those, or maybe it's a parallel, when his disciples are trying to prevent the parents from bringing these small children to Jesus, that Jesus' response is one that we don't usually associate with, you know, gentle Jesus, meek and mild. It says he is indignant, which when I get indignant, when I was a, you know, father of small children, when I got indignant, they got scared because that's not, he's not pleased in any way. He is displeased with this. Why so?
Yes, and you are correct. It's verse 14. When Jesus saw it, he was indignant. The King James is, he was much displeased. Or the New King James, he was greatly displeased. And what the word is you're very angry. It's kind of like you have a sister who, let's say, she's crippled. And people are making fun of her the way she walks. And do you not think you're going to be indignant and displeased with them? And why is that? Because of your great love for your sister. She's not a perfect human being physically, but because of your relationship, you are going to get angry like Jesus did with what they were doing to his own father in the temple with the money changers. So, yes. One disciple, you know, he really became indignant at when he said, well, I'll protect you when you go to Jerusalem so you won't be crucified. And he went so far to say, get thee behind me, Satan.
We'll take a break, and when we come back, Jesus says, to such belongs the kingdom of God. He uses that term twice. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God, and that's important, receive the kingdom of God like a little child shall not enter it. We'll talk about what the kingdom of God is that Jesus is talking about here. It's not the only place he discusses the kingdom of God. He does it in parables. He says the kingdom of God is near. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
Bethany Lutheran College is pleased to sponsor Issues Etc. and Lutheran Public Radio. Bethany Lutheran College is located in the picturesque river town of Mankato, Minnesota, and is committed to making Christian higher education affordable for all with generous financial aid packages available. At Bethany, you'll find stimulating academic programs, a friendly atmosphere, and opportunities to grow both in intellect and in your faith, all within the framework of a supportive Christian environment. For more information, visit us on the web at blc.edu.
Hi, this is Pastor Clayton from Zion Lutheran Church of Muscoota, Illinois, a proud supporter of Issues Etc. Zion is a congregation firmly grounded in God's grace given in the Word and Sacraments, where we treasure the timeless beauty of the liturgy. Zion is also a vibrant, young, family-friendly congregation where you would be warmly welcomed. Zion is located at 101 South Railway Street in Muscoota, Illinois, and we would love to share God's gifts of grace with you. For more information, please visit our website at zionmuscoota.com.
Educating a new generation of Lutherans, you're listening to Issues Etc.
Pastor Todd, I downloaded your Issues Etc. app for my Android phone, and I listen to it while I'm on the treadmill.
You can listen to Issues Etc. live or on demand with the new Issues Etc. Android or iPhone app. You can download these apps at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. in the palm of your hand. Download an app today.
My new Adam really enjoys the app while I'm on the treadmill.
What if we made it clear to the Sunday morning visitor that Jesus is actually present, forgiving sins? I've written the second part of my essay, Lord's Day, Lord's House, Lord's Supper, and you can read it in the latest Issues Etc. journal. Just click the red subscription button in the right-hand column at issuesetc.org. The Wittenberg Trail feature details Pastor Eric Rapp's journey from the New Age through Methodist Pietism to Confessional Lutheranism, the free online Issues Etc. journal. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson, as we do every week with him. We base those Sunday school lessons on a great curriculum of Sunday school lessons for every week of the year, this one for the fourth Sunday after the Epiphany, from Growing in Christ. It's a Sunday school curriculum from Concordia Publishing House that has really proven its worth over, it's got to be at least a decade now that it's been in circulation. It's really proven its worth in terms of bringing into the classroom a, as I would say, a genuinely Christ-centered, cross-focused way of presenting some of the very traditional Sunday school lessons and some that the kids hadn't been taught before, so that always and in every time they are finding there in that lesson Christ in his saving work for us sinners. It's called Growing in Christ. It comes from Concordia Publishing House. You can find out more about it at our website, issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Or if you call Concordia Publishing House, they'd be happy to send you a free sample so you can see for yourself. 1-800-325-3040. 1-800-325-3040. It's called Growing in Christ. Tom, he says here, and I want you to deal with two concepts. He says, whoever will not receive the kingdom of God. Why is that important? Because it's not about coming into the kingdom of God, it's about receiving it. And then we'll talk about the kingdom of God.
Yes, and we need to be really careful here in this day and age with evangelicalism talking about you need to accept Jesus, which moves it from a passive act to an active act, whereby you accept them by inviting them into your heart, making the decision. In other words, you are going to get the credit for Jesus coming to you. But notice clearly the children are brought to Jesus that he may lay his hands on them. And so what we're talking about is something that the children are not doing at all. It's really something that Jesus is doing as he says, let the children come to me. And so I always prefer to use the term receive Jesus because that's a passive. I'm not objecting to say that I accept Jesus Christ as my Savior. A believer can say that, but an unbeliever cannot say it in the sense of how he becomes justified because I accepted Jesus. So the receive is a much better translation.
So let's talk about this kingdom of God. What is it?
Yes. Unfortunately, a lot of people, when they think of a kingdom, they think of a place. And we need to understand that the kingdom, that word is not a static concept, but a dynamic concept. In other words, the best example I can give you is Queen Elizabeth. When we talk about her rule over Britannica, remember, Britannica rules anywhere in the world. So if you are a subject of Great Britain, and let's say you're on a boat in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean and a crime takes place against you, you are still under the rule of Queen Elizabeth because her rule is not a locality, but instead it's where she has authority. So the kingdom of God is not really some place that we're going to. If you ask a lot of even Lutherans, when are you going to be in the kingdom of God? They'll say, when I die and go to heaven. No, the kingdom of God is here on earth. There's three dimensions of the kingdom of God or the kingdom of heaven. The one is heaven, no doubt about that, after we die in judgment day. The other one, though, is the interim, when we die and our spirit is separated from our body. But the other way in which the word kingdom of God or kingdom of heaven is used, particularly by Jesus in the parables, he's describing, when we're talking about a kingdom parable, how God is working in the world, in his church. So, the parable of the lost sheep, you don't go find the shepherd. The shepherd goes find you, picks you up, puts you on his shoulders, and carries you home. That is a parable talking about our justification, how we're brought into the family of God. So the kingdom of God really actually begins with the ministry of Jesus. He says it very clearly in the first verses of Mark. The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, and now listen, repent, which means be humble, and believe in the gospel. And if there's anything that children are, they're humble and they are totally dependent, believing in their parents.
This idea of touching the children, and then it ends there with him blessing the children. What's that about, Tom?
Yes, a good point again, what you began with about context is everything. For example, I may touch my son, maybe putting on his coat or something, no big deal. But in the Old Testament, there were two ways that touching took place. The one was laying hands on the head of the burnt offering. That's Leviticus 1, verse 4. And then the other way, though, when Joshua, the son of Nun, was going to take over from Moses, guess what it says? Moses laid his hands on him. And then you get a lengthy passage in Genesis 48 where Joseph complains to his father that he's touching the wrong son, and therefore that's how the blessing is given. In fact, in verse 15, it says, and he blessed Joseph by touching him. Jesus does touching in the miracles. Matthew chapter 8, the leprosy of a man is cleansed. Jesus touches him. And twice he touches the eyes of the blind, and they can see. So, touching in this context would mean that the children are now being blessed by Jesus. What does that mean? It means they're being brought into the family of God by the hands of Jesus. And this is what the Sunday school teachers need to get across to the children they're talking to. Jesus did that in what we call the sacrament of holy baptism.
With only about a minute here, Tom, the basic law and gospel of these short three verses in Mark 10?
It's kind of an irony that we're children under the law, that we're helpless. We cannot save ourselves. The gospel is, so God comes in and does for me what I'm unable to do for myself. And that is to get me away from the curse of the law. In the day that you sin, death is the result, and that's referring to eternal death. How did I overcome that? I did not, but Jesus did, by dying the accursed death on the cross in my place, and therefore doing the glorious exchange in baptism where he takes my sins and gives me his righteousness.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, thank you very much for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Next week, we're going to talk with Pastor Baker doing another Sunday school lesson on Jesus healing a paralyzed man in Mark chapter 2. You can find out more about Law and Gospel under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to give away the 5-volume set of commentaries on Luther's Catechisms, a classic. It's a value of about $250. The listener with the best question or comment for Pastor Mark Serberg when we conclude our series with him on Christian confirmation. You can leave your questions or your comments at our Facebook page. We've left space for you to do so there. Just look for the picture of the confirmation class there. Facebook.com/issuesetc. Facebook.com/issuesetc. You can send us an email with that question or that comment on confirmation for Pastor Mark Serberg tomorrow on the program. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Talkback@issuesetc.org. Our Twitter address @issuesetc. Or you can call in live tomorrow with your question or comment on confirmation for Pastor Mark Serberg, 1-877-623-MYIE, 877-623-6943. The listener with the best question or comment on Christian confirmation will receive Albrecht Peter's commentaries on Luther's Catechisms. It's a 5-volume set valued at over $200. Well, we are all receivers, that is, passive receivers of the same grace through Jesus Christ. We did nothing to come to it, bring it to us, but Christ does all. I'm Todd Wilkin. I'll talk with you tomorrow. Thanks for listening to Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Augsburg Lutheran, Shawnee, Kansas; Peace Lutheran, Fresno, California; Trinity Lutheran, Casper, Wyoming; Memorial Lutheran, Houston, Texas; Trinity Lutheran, Gillette, Wyoming; Our Savior Lutheran, Ridgecrest, California; St. Mary's Lutheran, Des Moines, Iowa; Redeemer Lutheran, Caquabeca Falls, Ontario, Canada; St. Jacoby Lutheran, Shawano, Wisconsin; and St. John's Lutheran, North Prairie, Wisconsin. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print a one-page flyer. When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. Issuesetc.org, click support, the Issues Etc. 300.